The following is a sermon by Pastor Ralph Abernathy of Mount Olive Lutheran Church, located in Newton, North Carolina.
In the name of Jesus, amen. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. A wedding was a time of celebration. A wedding was a time of joy. The betrothal, the promising to one another, had taken place a year before, and yet the couple still lived apart from one another. They did not consummate their marriage, but their marriage was as good as done because their promise to become man and wife was considered binding. A legal contract, a promise made before God. And now, at this time in today's gospel reading, the bridegroom had gone to the bride's home to bring her to his own home, where they could begin living together, where they could enter the bridal chamber. And it was a time of celebration, a time of great joy. And all the community, all their friends, all their family were invited together to have a great big party. Not just a reception lasting for a couple of hours and then rice is thrown and the bride and groom go off in their chariot. But this party, this celebration, this reception lasted about 7 days. Wow, 7 days. That would take a lot of food. That would take a lot of beds to provide for all the guests a place to sleep. And that would provide a lot of wine. But the wine had run out. So Mary, the mother of our Lord, comes to Jesus and tells him, "Hey, they have no wine." Shh. And Jesus says to her, "Woman, what does that have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." Seems like a harsh answer. Jesus is telling her that yes, she is his birth mother. She is the one who conceived him in her womb by the Holy Spirit. But now, as he has entered into his ministry, now after he has been baptized and publicly acclaimed as God's dear son, the one in whom God is delighted, the role, the relationship of mother to son takes second place. Now Mary is called to follow Jesus as a disciple, as a sinner who is going to be redeemed by grace by his death on the cross. Jesus is reminding her of this fact, and he does not do so with disrespect. He does so with love because he knows that ultimately Mary's life rests upon her relationship of faith in him. Now, Mary is an honored woman in the Gospels. She is honored and provides for the church an example of faith. She is described by the fathers of the church early on in the first generation of the apostles as the second Eve. Eve disobeyed God's word. Eve wanted what she wanted, and Adam did too. But Mary says yes to God. when God sends the angel Gabriel to Mary to announce to her that she is going to conceive by the Holy Spirit and give birth to a son who shall inherit the throne of his father David, Mary says, "Let it be so to me according to your word." Mary is an example to us. But here in today's gospel reading, she is also a reminder to us that we, the church, are called to listen to Jesus. We, the church, are called to remember that it is Christ Jesus, our Savior, the Son of God, the Word made flesh, who is the star of the show. And our purpose is to point people to Him. In today's Gospel from St. John, this mention of Mary is the last time we hear of Mary until the very end of the Gospel, when Jesus says to her, Jesus on the cross says to her, "Woman, behold your son," and he says to John, "Behold your mother." For 27, 28 more chapters, there is no mention of Mary at all. But there is mention of Jesus. The Gospel of John is full of Jesus, full of the signs that he performed, the miraculous works he accomplished that were intended not to make people go, "Ooh, ah, did you see that?" but intended to draw attention to him as the Savior of the world, the Lamb of God, sacrificed for all sins everywhere, of every time and every place. And that is why John records this, the first of Jesus' signs that he did at Cana of Galilee, when he manifested his glory as God in the flesh, and his disciples believed in him. Because Jesus did do something miraculous in today's gospel reading. There were 6 stone water jars there at this feast for the Jewish rites of purification, so people could wash their hands in accordance with the law. These jars each held 20 to 30 gallons of water. Because again, when you have a lot of guests, you need a lot of water so they can wash their hands, so they can be cleansed according to the law. So we're talking about stone jars of water containing as much as 180 gallons of wine, a whole lot of water. Jesus tells the servants at the feast, "Fill the jars with water," and they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now, draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. The master of the feast tasted the water, and it wasn't water anymore. It had become wine. Wine that makes glad the hearts of men, the psalmist says. Wine that is given to us by God for us to drink and celebrate with. Water became wine because of Jesus. And the celebration continued. The festival continued. The bride and groom did not lose face because they hadn't provided enough for the wedding festivities. And the party went on. The master of the feast was astonished. He drank some. And he said to the bridegroom, "Hey, this is amazing. Whenever there's a big feast, everyone always serves the good wine first, and then the poorer wine at the last when people have drunk so much they don't really care what it tastes like. But you have kept the good wine until now. Think of the good wine in this way. The good wine of the gospel. The new wine that is not poured into old wineskins, but poured into the people of God, making them alive, making them joyful in Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Christ manifests his glory as the Creator who, in an instant, accomplishes what it takes a long process to accomplish as grapes are grown and the grapes are crushed and the juice gathered and the juice ferments into wine. Christ does it in an instant. And he does it out of love, out of compassion for this bridegroom and his bride. But it took a whole lifetime, 33 years, to accomplish something wonderful for you. It took Jesus's conception by the Holy Spirit and his growing and developing in the womb of Mary. It took his holy birth. It took his holy infancy, his holy childhood, his holy adolescence, his becoming a man. It took his faithfulness to the Word of God, not just for a moment or two, but for the entire 33 years of his life on earth. It took him enduring the enmity of people, the ostracism of people, the plotting against him of the scribes and Pharisees. It took his betrayal by a kiss from Judas, and his arrest and his trial before the Sanhedrin. It took his condemnation by Pilate and his flogging, and his sentencing to death because the people wanted Barabbas, a criminal, set free instead of him. It took him dragging the cross through the streets of Jerusalem and him being nailed to that cross and him being mocked by the two thieves and him suffering and dying under God's condemnation and him giving up his spirit and his 3-day rest in the tomb, his resurrection, and his ascension to the right hand of God. Yes, Jesus turned the water into wine in just an instant, but he worked, he suffered, he endured to accomplish your salvation. He did it out of love and out of compassion for you, so that you can be forgiven, so that you can receive the Holy Spirit who brings you to faith in him and enables you to continue in faith, so you can be a participant at the feast today. Come to the feast. Come to the feast of Christ's body and blood, which are the fruits of his sacrifice on the cross, in which he gives you to eat and drink of his body and blood. Do not stay away. Do not be like those whom the king invited to the wedding feast of his son, and they stayed away because they had this to do or that to do, land to look at, oxen to try out. The gospel is a continual invitation to the feast of God's mercy, God's forgiveness, God's salvation in Christ. And just as at a feast there is real food to eat and real food to drink, so at this feast you have the real presence of Jesus in his body and blood in the sacrament for you. The Jesus who was there at the wedding feast in Cana, who turned the water into wine, The Jesus who by his word united with the water makes your baptism a washing of renewal and a cleansing and rebirth by the Holy Spirit. The Jesus who by his word of peace forgives you all of your sins, who by his words of institution takes the bread and wine and puts in them his body and blood, so that they are full of forgiveness, life, and salvation for you. You need it. I need it. We all need it. We all need Jesus, this Jesus who became the host, if you will, at the wedding feast in Cana, even though he was the guest, and who is our host here, as his gospel is proclaimed to you, bringing to you the forgiveness of sins, and as he provides the waters of purification for you in your baptism and in the cleansing word, and as he provides his body, his blood, for you to eat and to drink, that you may have life in his name. Come to the feast. Believe. Believe in Christ, your Savior. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior. Amen.